Welcome to the Earn More, Stress Less podcast with me, Caro Sison, and my co-host for this season two, Hayley Hudson. This podcast is for self-employed business owners just like you who really want to grow their business and become successful and profitable and without all the stress and hassle. We want to share over 50 years of our business experience to show you how simple it can be to earn more money and how you can get organized without needing a business degree or any other qualification. We'll be talking about the easy steps that you can put in place right now to start earning more money today and to help you get the business that you deserve and dream of. So without further ado, let's get started. This week's podcast is sponsored by Pocket PA, helping self-employed business owners to get organized, understand their finances, and do their accounts all in one place using a powerful online tool. If you're serious about making a profit and having a successful business, then using a simple digital app like Pocket PA is the best way to grow and scale your business. Visit pocketpa.com for more details and start managing your money like a pro today. Hello and welcome to the Earn More, Stress Less podcast with me, your host, Caro Sison, and I'm very ably joined by my wonderful co-host, Hayley Hudson, this week. Hello, Hayley.
Hi, Caro.
So in today's episode on Earn More, Stress Less, Hayley and I are going to be tackling a topic that's essential for every entrepreneur. It's about taking time off for your holidays and effectively how you manage your diary and your clients before and after and during your holiday. So as a solo business owner, I know you're probably going to be juggling your schedule, you're ensuring your clients are well taken care of while taking your break. And I know that this can sometimes be challenging, especially if it's perhaps your first or second holiday that you've taken since you started your business. Your business is your second baby and it's very hard to let go. I know that. So today we're going to explore some practical strategies and share our own experiences on how to navigate this tightrope and balancing act to make sure that you really can enjoy a well-deserved time off without sacrificing the success of your business. So let's dive in. We all enjoy a lovely holiday. We all need a holiday. We spend ages looking forward to it and then another few weeks after recovering from it. But what do we need to think about when you're a small business owner and you're planning some well-deserved time off? I think the very first thing that you need to do is to make sure that you communicate early with your clients. So it's crucial when you're a solo business owner, when there's just you, you need to make sure that you're telling your clients well in advance about any upcoming holidays or planned time off. Now, you can use communication channels like email or in your newsletter. Maybe put it out on your social media post. You can tell people in person when you're actually on the appointment with them, but make sure that your clients are aware of your holiday schedule. They may well be anticipating having a service or a treatment with you when you are away, or perhaps it's the run-up to a really important event for them. So you might have a client that's got an upcoming wedding. They're hoping to have a beauty treatment or their hair done, particularly for this important event in their life. And then just beforehand, if you communicate very last minute, they find out that they can't book in that service with you. That can be incredibly frustrating. So I think it's important when you're encouraging your clients to book ahead of time, that you make sure that you're letting them know exactly when you're going to be away, particularly as soon as you're booking it, really. If there are clients that are long-term planning, you have the planners and you have the lastminute.com clients, I think. But Hayley, how do you find that? Have you always been good at communicating early on that you're going to be away?
I used to be really bad at this. Not because I didn't want to have a holiday, but because I was just so busy with clients. I was literally packed. They'd book in before I ever got my time off in the diary. It was like a runaway train. It was awful. I literally ended up having only 2 weeks off a year for a couple of years in a row. And I can't say that I was the nicest person with only having 2 weeks off a year. I was overworked. I was tired. I was burnt out. It was miserable.
So can I just ask, because you hadn't put the holiday in and clients had already booked in, you therefore just didn't take time off. You just thought, oh, because I've got an ongoing list of clients. You didn't ring fence any time and let those clients know that actually that was a time you were going to be booking your holiday and you would have to rearrange their appointments. You just carried on seeing them.
Yeah. It would be because I wasn't expecting to be so busy or successful. So it never really occurred to me. So I just kept, you know, the whole aim of the game was get fully booked. So I got fully booked and then it became a monster and I was just always booked. And, you know, my clients were booked out for 4 to 6 months ahead of me. They would have been in even more than that had I have let them. Some of them used to bring their calendars in January to book me right through to Christmas. And I literally had to say, if you bring your calendar in again, you're barred, because I'm not doing that. I mean, luckily I've got quite a dry sense of humor, so I can get away with that sort of thing. But honestly, it was, I feel it's giving me anxiety just thinking about it. I feel quite anxious. Honestly, I haven't worked consistently behind the chair now, probably for a lot of years, probably up to 8 years now. And I do go back in and do work because I miss it. I love giving, you know, service. I think if I think it's always in you, even if you manage to be the CEO and running the businesses and things like that. You know, ultimately my first love is doing hair. But honestly, if I go back in, I covered someone's column recently and all my old clients are looking over going, what's she doing? Why is she here? And why is she in her chair? Why am I not in that chair? And honestly, they've all been saying, so when are you back? When are you back? When are you back? And I've tried to just go, okay, well, I'll do a few of you, you know. And I'm literally like that boat, you know, in the Titanic, where that scene where the boats all go back to rescue people and they're all capsizing because there's too many people getting on the boat. Honestly, I can't open my books, honestly. It's a fantastic problem to have. There's probably people sitting there going, why is she moaning? Why is she moaning about that?
What a problem to have.
Anyway, but yes, so do have boundaries with booking in. So get your holidays in your calendar at the beginning of the year. If you can plot out the year's holiday, it's ideal. And it also limits how far in advance you will book people out, because things change in your life as well. You know, if you want to drop a day behind the chair or in the treatment room, or you want to take a class, say you want to learn, I don't know, art, or you want to do something that's on a Tuesday, you know, you might want to change your working schedule. So, you know, trust me, from experience, please plot your holidays out in advance. And also, don't be afraid to ask people. I think if you're giving people reasonable notice, I mean, like me, I would never, ever reschedule anybody. I am still quite strict about it, you know, now. I don't think people like to be moved around. That said, you know, clients would say to me, oh, well, you know, if you want to go away or something comes up because it's so far in advance, just reschedule me. And, you know, and you go to reschedule them and they're like, what do you mean you're rescheduling me? And it's like, Jill, it's 7 months' time. Come on, you know, be reasonable. Please reschedule. So yeah, be bounded with your diary. That's what I would say, because, you know, otherwise, if you're creating those conversations, sometimes, you know, you might not want those conversations. So just schedule it in.
Yeah, dealing with tricky clients. We dealt with that last week. So one of the things, certainly in Pocket PA, we have, when you have an online booking system, we specify in the settings for the therapist or the service provider to be able to say how far in advance they want to open their diary. And I know for Megan, she only has her diary open 1 or 2 months in advance. She makes a very big deal on social media when she's opening her diary for the following month. And having a, you know, tight control of your time on a month by month basis like that, that does enable you to be able to plan your holidays, because nobody else has got access to your diary further than X number of months ahead. So that is quite a good way for you to regulate. And then when clients come to have the diary open, they can see if you've got some days off or a long weekend or those sorts of things. Because, you know, at the end of the day, you're running your own business. You do need to have breaks and holidays. Otherwise, you're going to be burning out. It's very important that you don't have that situation that you've just relayed where you only have 2 weeks holiday in a full year. That is not good for you. It's not good for you. It's not good for your family. It's not good for your mental health, and it's not good for your business and your clients. And you won't be able to sustain that longevity in your business. We all need something to look forward to. Your clients are on and off holidays. They're not sort of minimizing it because of your workload. So you need to factor in, and it's another one of those self-care things, I think. And when you're working by yourself and you do have that period, perhaps you might have a 2 week or a 3 week period. I know my nail tech lady was away, and she had a honeymoon and an amazing big holiday, and she was away for 3 weeks. But what about the idea when you are away, if your clients are needing to have a repeat maintenance service or whatever, perhaps you might know another local person in your business doing the same thing as you. If you've got a good relationship with them, then it might be appropriate for you to actually send your clients to them. Perhaps, I know that that might be sacrilege, and I can hear people shouting already going, oh my goodness, I would never dream of sending one of my clients to, you know, in inverted commas, my competitor, but you're probably going to know other people in the industry and you're going to have friendships with them. And what if you could piggyback and perhaps do reciprocal referrals to them when they're, because they're going to have holidays as well, and maybe you could cover some. And, you know, you're, if you're giving great service, you're going to have your loyal clients that are never going to want to go anywhere, and they'll be prepared to wait around it. But there are going to be some clients that desperately need to have that service that you can't deliver in that period that you're going to be away. So sometimes it can be really handy to have that good working relationship, and then to receive their clients when they're away. You don't have to be tooth and nail competitors, and you know, I can understand why you might not want to get them to see somebody else if you are just starting up and you feel that you're very protective of your clients or whatever. But I think if you're offering a good service or whatever, it might be an alternative that you could refer to somebody else locally and not feel threatened by doing that. But I know people will have very strong opinions one way or the other. Have you ever referred any of your clients, or is that a complete no-no? I know in my physiotherapy industry, I didn't want people to perhaps drop off on their treatment. So I would suggest another physiotherapist locally if I wanted to maintain their treatment plan. But obviously physical, you know, treatments of, I'm trying to find the word. What's the word for when you've got an illness or something?
When it's a more of a medical related treatment, isn't it?
Thank you for helping with that. Yes, I didn't want to say a service, but yeah, if you're treating somebody for back pain and you've got your this 2 week holiday coming up and they're still sort of in the phase of their recovery, you don't want that to drop off because you've got 2 weeks of holiday. So I would look always to refer them to another therapist to be able to have some maintenance treatment in the interim, and then they would come back to me and that wouldn't be a problem. But I can understand maybe in beauty or hair that might not be so appropriate. Am I off track there, Hayley?
I'm sure there's plenty of us out there going over my dead body, to be totally honest with you.
Thank you for your honesty. Okay, so that is the difference then between the different, maybe that's the thing then when you have a very small business. I don't think I was ever, I was more in need of a holiday than worrying about losing one or two clients to a competitor, I suppose. And I didn't always see them as competitors. I felt that there was enough room for us all to be successful or whatever, because people choose you for you. But yeah, I can understand what you're saying. Gosh, I don't know if this is turning into a car crash episode.
It's real. I think I absolutely understand what you're saying. And I think it's a very different thing, because if your client is in absolute agony and they can't walk, then I think absolutely, of course, you would refer them to somebody else. You wouldn't say, I'm sorry, you've got to sit there crippled until I come back from holiday. You couldn't ever do that. And I think, you know, collaboration definitely over competition. But that said, I think when it comes to somebody's roots going an extra week, or, you know, maybe a nail infill going an extra week, they're not, you know, then it's not critical, is it, that they get seen on many occasions. But I have heard of stylists referring and beauty therapists, definitely, you know, if you've worked somewhere previously with somebody and you've got a good therapist that you trust, I think the main thing is having somebody that you trust that isn't going to be trying to undercut you. When I was freelance and I rented a chair in a salon, I remember I was quite unwell at the time. And one of the girls did my client. It was in the days where we didn't have pocket PA. You know, on some of the episodes, we've discussed some of the things. I'm like, where were you? Where were you? I needed you in my life. You know, with the 2 weeks off, of course it made sense. Don't, you know, in the settings, you can chop it off so no one can book 6 months in advance with you. I mean, fantastic. When you've got your paper diary and they're giving you the death stare saying you will book me in for my cruise on that day, even though I know you're on holiday and it's your mum's birthday and your birthday and your wedding, but you'll book me in. You know, that's the kind of pressure that you're under sometimes when these people are trying to book you in. But to get back onto the point, referring people onto a competitor, you know, if you've worked with somebody and you've got a good working relationship and you trust that they're going to do them for that service, and then say, right, well, you know, you've got your appointment back in. So I think in those situations, I would refer it to the other person and say, right, okay, so in 2 weeks' time, I'll message Louise for you. She'll book you in. And then on the return, I'll get you one after that back in with me. So I think if you do it in a controlled manner, it can really work. And obviously, you know, one day if you do want to have your own salon or clinic or spa or something like that, then of course, if you've got a different setup where you're working with other practitioners, therapists or stylists, you would refer while you're on holiday, you know, and they just come back to you naturally. So, you know, there's lots of different for's and against. So you're not completely wrong there. Yes, you know, you would definitely refer them on, but you know.
Thank you for redeeming me. I sounded very naive when I said that at the get-go without qualifying it. So yeah, thank you. And obviously I've had a different experience in and background, as you say, in medical stuff. So there are differences between the services that we were offering. So just to get back on track, you've got your holiday booked in. So you're going to take proactive steps to plan ahead. You're going to organise your tasks. You're going to make sure that you've got a smooth transition during your time off. So there's often going to be a lot of things that you have to do extra before you go on your holiday. You're going to be very ready for your holiday because you have to often work twice as hard before you go away. And then when you get back, you have to work twice as hard to catch up. So it is sometimes a bit of a frustration, particularly when you're working on your own, that you have to do this extra before and you're extra busy working sort of both sides of the early mornings and late evenings or whatever. But I think it also helps to just get a little bit organized and plan. What about a detailed checklist of tasks that have to be done before your holiday? So not just the scheduling appointments, but you might need to be reorganizing restocking of supplies, making sure that all your client communications are all smooth and in place or whatever. Maybe you're sending out a newsletter, you might want to schedule it. What about sending out, giving yourself a proper break and scheduling your social media using a scheduling tool? That can be really handy because the last thing you want is to be panicking about making sure that you've got posts going out when you're on your sun lounger. I mean, I know a lot of people are doom scrolling anyway on their sun lounger or whatever, but try and have a switch off and a break from doing those work tasks that you're used to doing. You also might need to make provision for financial payments and stuff that you need to make when you're away. So make sure that you have got invoices scheduled to be going out if you are due to be paying anything. And also when you are away on holiday, you're not going to be earning in that 1 or 2 week period. So you do need to make some financial adjustments because you're not going to have any income coming in, but you're going to have the same bills to pay. You're going to have your same direct fixed costs like your rent or your subscriptions going out of your account. So you do need to be mindful that you've got to cover those periods when you're not bringing any income in when you're self-employed. What do you do prior to a holiday, Hayley? Are you a list person?
Well, I try to be a list person. List person is not my default setting, but I do create lists of what I need to do before I go away. And a really good idea, which a client shared with me, is to create lists but reactivate those lists every time you go away. So you've got the same list sat on your phone that once you've checked it all off, the next time you go away, you'll probably be using exactly the same list. So there's no need to remake one, just use that one again. And that was just an epiphany for me. I was like, oh my God, where have you been all my life? So that's what I do now. So I have packing lists and I have business lists. And I just reactivate them when I'm going somewhere, which saves me so much time. But what usually happens is I get all my lists. I know exactly what I need to do. I have a week to build up to when I'm going away. And then what happens is my husband also has his own business. So what happens is his business goes bonkers. He works crazy, crazy, stupid hours. And then I have 24 hours to cram everything in to get done before I go on holiday. So my planning goes completely out the window. And this happens every single time. And especially now we have a child as well, that goes out the window. So not my child, I mean my list planning. So I have got to create a new strategy to cope with going away. So I think I'm going to have like a 2 week countdown rather than a week. So just before he goes bonkers because he hasn't planned properly, I've actually already sorted it out. So I think for a lot of the listeners, just kind of have a plan for the other person in your life, if you have one, for them not being organized. So that doesn't throw you. So, but that said, I mean, I don't want to be too hard on myself. I said the other day that I'm not naturally an organized person. And somebody said to me, you have three businesses, a house to run, a marriage, a child, family members. You know, don't be so hard on yourself. So I think, you know, as well, don't be so hard on yourself. We do have a lot of plates to spin, especially if you're a working female, whether or not you have a family or not. I think, you know, society's expectations of us, we have a lot to do. So I think use your lists, try and be as organized as you possibly can be.
Yeah, I agree. And when you're a new business, it might be that, you know, you're so excited and you're all caught up in that bubble of, oh, I've got a new business and I'm earning money and I couldn't possibly leave for 2 seconds or whatever. You do need to make sure that you prioritize your own well-being, your relaxation and that sort of thing. You need to be taking breaks, even if they just start off with some long weekends or some mini breaks or something, because as a solo business owner, owner, you are carrying all of the weight of your business operating or not. And therefore, you can't function long term if you're not taking regular scheduled time out from your business. And, you know, you need to schedule personal activities or downtime to recharge, rejuvenate, whether it's spending time with family, engaging in hobbies, or just simply taking time out, some you time. So make sure that you do set these boundaries with work-related commitments and you allow yourself to fully disconnect from business. You do often find when you're actually away, you have lots of ideas springing into your brain. I'm a lot more creative when I'm away. If you're not allowing those downtimes, then the only time you're ever going to have that creativity is probably when you're in the shower. I have loads of thoughts come in the shower as well with ideas that you need to when you can't reach a pen and paper and you've got the soap in your hands. But having that downtime when you're just switching off will enable you to get a perspective on your business and to reevaluate some of the things that you've been either considering or thinking about. So holidays are really, really important. What are your thoughts about what stage your business is at? Do you think there are different times that you can take more time off or less time off depending on the stage of your business, Hayley?
Definitely. I think it depends at what stage you're at in your business. I think you get different interruptions with each stage. So when I was freelance, it would be more a case of clients were contacting me about appointments. They might be rescheduling. They might be asking me questions, things like that. Nowadays, once I got a team and I got a salon, there was different interruptions. Then usually I'd find either there'd be a complaint or a stylist would be poorly, or I've even had people that have decided to leave the minute I got out of the country, which was great. That's always fun. Thanks for that. Perfect timing, you know. And then I think as well, like nowadays, I do take time off and I do obviously go for the complete relaxation, but I'm working on something a little bit different. So I'm working to be able to run my business from any location in the world. So I've now got it up to a month. So I've actually done a couple of months now. So every year we take a month off and we go and travel. So last year we traveled around the east coast of Spain. And although I do work while I'm there, I do it in blocks. So I'll work either a couple of hours a day or I'll do just a couple of hours a week. So I do get the full relaxation.
Time blocking.
Yes, it is. Absolutely. So yeah, I'm doing time blocking so that I've just got a different work-life balance so that I'm kind of always on call. I'm kind of always on work. I'm not saying I don't have time off, but I'm trying to design a work-life balance whereby it's comfortable, it's sustainable, and I don't need a huge holiday from it. But I do, saying that, I'm really nervous about putting that out there because obviously I do have time off, you know, but if I'm working, I don't know, 4 hours a week each week, but I can spend a month away in a beautiful country, I think that's a good trade-off.
That's definitely a good trade-off. And also, maybe you're not going away in a holiday period, you're not taking any time off in the summer or whatever, but it might be that your clients are jetting off. So have a think in your business about offering holiday specials, packages for your clients to maximize those holiday seasons. You know, the run-up to Christmas, that's a time when people are celebrating. So they may well be extra booking in your services, that sort of thing. So take advantage of these holiday periods to offer special promotions, packages to incentivize clients to book appointments with you. You can consider offering discount packages or bundled packages specifically for that holiday themed treatment. And you can also attract clients during slower holiday times as well if you're offering special packages and that sort of thing. So promote these special offers through your website, your social media platforms, on your stories, in your email newsletters to reach your client base effectively. Do you do any holiday packages for clients in the run-up and special offers?
We don't. I think because we're always very, very fully booked, so we don't tend to offer packages and discounts. That said, if I am going to put something together, I would always prefer to add extra value. So I would never discount the price, but I would throw in an extra service. So I think when you are putting these packages together, I see some of the packages that, you know, are out there online and I think, my God, how the hell are they making a profit? So just make sure that when you are doing it, it has to be a win for everybody. It has to be a win for the client and it has to be a win for you as a business. So make sure that you're adding in something that's either very, very inexpensive to deliver and takes no time. I mean, the whole goal is it takes very, very little product and very little time to deliver. I mean, that's the winning formula, you know, but just be mindful that if you are adding time in and you're fully booked, then that's essentially costing you money because that could have been another service that you could have got in the diary. And if you are adding in extra products, make sure that you're not going in with a very product heavy service, because you can actually, it can just cost you more than you realize. So I think they're absolutely fantastic. I think go ahead, put your packages, because it can really increase bookings. It can get those clients that are sat on the fence thinking, shall I book in, to actually come and book the appointment and come with you. So I think they're brilliant. It's a great strategy. Get your marketing synced up with it, have a good build up, make it exciting, get your posters and stuff out there, you know, an email shot, as you've said, your clients, and just create a good buzz about it, so there is higher demand. But just make sure that, you know, you're offering a service that does give you a really good return, really, to make sure that you're not doing it for nothing.
Yeah, exactly. Because this is a business that you're running. It's not a hobby. It's not a charity. It's not for non-profit. It's your business and your livelihood. So that's great. Thanks, Hayley, for all those amazing tips as usual. Remember, prioritizing your well-being, setting those boundaries around your time off is absolutely crucial for maintaining a healthy work-life balance and to sustain your long-term success as your small business grows. So I really encourage you to implement these strategies that we've talked about. Carve out your time for rest, rejuvenation. Know that a well-rested and refreshed you is the best version that you can be delivering to your clients, and it will reap rewards for your own business. So thanks for tuning in today to be with Hayley and myself on the Earn More Stress Less podcast. So until next time, take care of yourself and your business. Don't forget to enjoy those well-deserved breaks. So ciao, ciao, hasta la vista, baby, au revoir. And of course, bon voyage from us. We will see you again next week.
See you next week.
Thank you so much for listening today to the Earn More Stress Less podcast with me, Caro Sison, and my co-host, Hayley Hudson. If you've enjoyed this week's episode, then do hit subscribe so we can catch up again soon. And please kindly leave a review if you've got a moment, and share with anyone else that you think this podcast could help on their self-employed journey. If you're ready to make bigger breakthroughs in your business life and want to get way more organized and understand your finances the really simple way, then start your very own 14-day free trial today using the super powerful software tool Pocket PA that I made for my own son and daughter. Go to pocketpa.com/podcast and let's get you on the way to earning more money and stressing much less. Have a great week, whatever you're doing.